Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on total onslaughts when we come back. You know, in Job 38, verse 24, we read a scientific question. It says, by what way is it that the light is parted? Or paraphrased, it says, well, by what way or technique is the light apportioned or separated? Now, can you imagine asking that question 4,000 years ago? Now, today, it's a simple one to answer, and the student replies by saying, well, by passing it through the prism of the spectroscope. But who could have known that 4,000 years ago back in Job's day? Now, when we heat a metal red hot, or any substance for that matter, until it's incandescent, it gives forth rays of light. These rays of light, after passing through the prism of the spectroscope, divide themselves on a graph according to the content of the matter that sent them forth. So when a ray of light reaches us from some far-flung star, all we have to do is pass that light through the spectroscope to see what the composition of that star is and the proportion of each of its ingredients. Now, this division of light rays is always constant and it doesn't vary, so that we can always rely upon the results. Spectroscopic analysis is an exact science, and this is the manner by which the light is apportioned. And this places us then in a quandary, because either Job knew that, or a supernatural wisdom is being revealed here. Now, that's just one more of the many examples of science in the Scripture. And that's one of the many lessons in our Mosaic Law School that we teach here in Isabella. Now, for more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, georgegordon.org. Go to the archives page or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been reviewing a set of videotapes. Not tapes, CDs, DVDs. It comes from an outfit that's called AmazingDiscoveries.org. You got to get that down, AmazingDiscoveries.org. I've been singing his praises here now. And at the same time, I want to show you why it is that this guy is smart, but he doesn't know everything. And I'm pretty smart, but I don't know everything. And we're instructed in the Scripture that if we want wisdom, in Daniel 12, verse 10, the wise will understand. Well, the wicked will do wickedly, and they won't understand. So the better we practice the laws of the Bible, the better our wisdom, the better our understanding, the better our knowledge becomes. So when you practice all of the law, you will get the benefits that come from that. A good understanding of all they who do his commandments. A poor understanding of all they who do not do his commandments. So when we don't practice the law, we know what the law is, or we know what the doctrine is, but we don't practice it, then that impairs our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding. It's not quite as sharp, not quite as good. In fact, it may just be downright poor. Now, let me show you a little lesson here. One time I heard about a guy named Carl Baugh. I'm going to recommend him right now. And he runs an outfit down in Glen Rose, Texas, called Creation Evidences Museum. And I had heard that they had dinosaur prints and human prints in the same strata. Now, you know what that would mean, going back, you know, in time. The dinosaurs died out. They told us, the evolutionists, now they told us 65 million years ago, all the dinosaurs died out. Man didn't appear on the scene until about 2 million years ago. So there aren't any dinosaur and human footprints together. If they were, then man and the dinosaurs were living in the same era. So either the dinosaurs ain't 65 million years old or man is. See how simple this is? Just do the arithmetic. Now, there's another little piece to the puzzle here. In the churches, they have a doctrine called the gap theory. So if you look at Genesis 1, verse 1, and then you read it, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then there's verse 2. And it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So in order to straddle the fence and keep one ear to each side on the ground, the religious people said, well, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but it doesn't say how long. It could have been millions and billions of years. And that's called the gap theory. Well, I subscribed to that. I thought, well, you know, maybe there's a God, and maybe he took billions of years, and maybe some of these religious guys have misconstrued how this creation took place. That it didn't take place in six literal days, 24 hours each. But maybe it was 6,000 years, 1,000 years each. See, that's easier to swallow because, you know, it would be easier to create, you know, these creation days if they were 1,000 years long rather than 24 hours. It's called the gap theory. And so I show up down here at Glenrose, Texas, and I'm in this museum, and I met Mr. Baugh down there. He happened to be around, and I bought some books, and I chit-chatted a little bit with him. And as we were talking and looking in his books, I mentioned that this gap theory and one thing and another. And he looked me right in the eyeball, and he says, that's a crock of BS. That isn't scientific. That isn't the way the world works, and that isn't what the Scripture says. He said, the world was created in six literal days, 24 hours each, like it or lump it. And he said, I don't get any great pleasure out of making fun of you or laughing at you. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you that when God said he made it in 6 days, he made it in 6 days. It wasn't 6,000 years. Here's a book. Take this home with you and read it. So I did. I bought a stack of books, and I brought them home. And when I got through reading those books, I said, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did it in 6 days. He didn't do it in 6,000 years or 600,000 years or long eons. He did it in six periods of 24 hours each. Now, I had to learn something from this guy, Karl Baugh, who's a Baptist. And I'm sure he's a pig-eating Christian. But he knew and understood that creation week, Genesis 1 and 2, and I didn't. But he straightened me out. Now, I don't think that Mr. Baugh knows very much about the Wednesday crucifixion and the Saturday resurrection. I would be surprised if he knew and understood the doctrines, you know, like think of one here, the Passover, Exodus 12, or the seven annual holy days in Leviticus 23. See, I don't think he practices that. I'd be surprised if he did. Now, he's a nice guy, and he's smart. I mean, he's no dummy. But he doesn't know everything. And maybe he has rejected some of these truths. I don't know. I didn't interview him. I didn't get into that with him. But I just wanted to point out for your benefit that when you run into somebody and he doesn't believe, he doesn't practice the same thing you do, doesn't mean he's dumb or that he's going to hell or that you're superior. It just means that he's on a different level of understanding than you are. When students come to school here, and we get to talking a little bit, and I can tell pretty fast, you know, well, this guy doesn't know much about the Federal Reserve, and he doesn't know very much about gold and silver coin. He hasn't read Pieces of Eight. He doesn't know about Edwin Vieira. Maybe he doesn't know about the Committee of 300. He doesn't quite understand Queen Elizabeth's role in this game. Okay, but that doesn't mean the guy can't learn, because, see, there was a time here 20, 30, 40 years ago, I didn't know that either. I was not born knowing about the Committee of 300. I learned that from the book on the Committee of 300, which was written by Dr. John Coleman. Now, I don't think that Dr. Coleman knows very much about, the Passover, Exodus 12, the Sabbath, or the annual Sabbaths in Leviticus 23. But this Dr. Coleman is no dummy. The guy that wrote this book, The Conspirators' Hierarchy and the Committee of 300, I mean, that's one smart dude. This guy, Coleman, I got to tell you, if you'd like to read a good book here about the secret societies and who's running the world and who's in control, I don't think there's anybody out there who knows much more about this than John Coleman. In fact, this book, this set of DVDs here called Total Onslaught, mentions the Committee of 300, the Bilderbergers, Skull and Bones. And better yet, he goes a step further than that. He says, let me show you the occult symbols that go with it. Then he goes to Salt Lake City with the Mormon Temple, and he just walks around the Mormon Temple, around the grounds, and takes pictures of the occult symbols that come from the Babylonian mystery religion, right there on the temple grounds. Isn't that special? And then he goes over to the Vatican, and he takes pictures, right there on the Vatican grounds, of the occult symbols that come from the Babylonian, Greek, Persian, and Egyptian mystery religions. Then he goes over to Jerusalem, and he takes pictures, goes to Turkey and Greece, and he takes pictures, goes to England and France, where all these great cathedrals are, all these great Christian institutions, and takes pictures of these occult symbols, like the crescent moon. Now, you see, the Islamic people, they use the crescent like we use the cross. Well, that crescent is the symbol of a pagan god, a pagan deity. And so do we in Christendom. We use those same pagan symbols. They're on our cathedrals in France and in England. The Queen wears it on her regalia. So does the Pope. So does Billy Graham. And so, hey, you know, these people all have a lot in common. And they have a lot in common because they're members of Skull and Bones or Freemasonry or. Bottom line is they're all practicing Mithraic sun worship. They're Mithra worshipers. And they've taught us to do the same thing. So whether you call yourself a Baptist or a Protestant or a Catholic or a Muslim, whatever, you're all practicing Mithraic sun worship. And you probably are doing it in good faith and in the hopes that you'll go to heaven when you die. But I already pointed out to you, heaven is a fiction. And most of the people in the world believe that. And it isn't a fiction because I say it is or I believe it is. It's a fiction because there are others that have researched it out and can show you in the scripture, and then they showed me. Now, I thought, you know, just taking it at face value, that the gap theory was correct. It wasn't. I thought the local flood theory was correct. It wasn't. So it was Whitcomb and Morris that explained to me the worldwide flood, and it was Carl Baugh who explained to me the gap theory, and it was Kent Hovind who explained to me the fallacies of evolution, and it was a number of other people, including this Dr. Beath, who have taught me what I know from the scripture, because I couldn't have figured it out. Remember, this thing is written in code, and God intends to reveal it to those who obey him and keep his commandments, those that are righteous, those that practice the law. Those that are wicked and don't practice the law, he intends to withhold that information from them. He does not want them to know or understand what his plan is, what he's doing, how it worked in the past, or what the scripture is about. It says so very plainly in Matthew 13. He says, I speak in parables so that they can't understand what I'm telling. All right, now with that much in mind, let me give you the Conspirators Hierarchy, the Committee of 300 address here. It's written by a guy named John Coleman. You're looking for the Committee of 300, and they're located up in Carson City, Nevada. And it's 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada. I don't know if they have a website or not. They might, if you were to look up John Coleman on Google, or Committee of 300. And see what else we got here. Copyright 1992 by John Coleman. All right, but get this down. 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. Now, that'll tell you the story about the 300 people in the world that run the world. Let me give you some names. I'm just having to turn over to the page. You ever heard of Winston Churchill, Clark Clifford, Joseph Califano, Lord Carrington, Sir Alec, Douglas Hume, DuPont, Lloyd George, Aldous Huxley, Lord Halifax, Queen Elizabeth II, Queen Juliana, John Maynard Keynes, Aldous Huxley, and Her Royal Highness Beatrix? Those are some of the members and past members of the Committee of 300. Lord Louis Mountbatten, Walter Lippmann, Henry Kissinger, Harold Macmillan, Olaf Palme, John P. Morgan, that's J.P. Morgan, and Alfred P. Sloan. You know, when we're watching PBS and we see names like Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, these are Illuminists. George Shultz used to be the Secretary of State under, who was it, Kennedy or Johnson, or maybe both. David Rockefeller is in there, and Sir Bertrand Russell. Now listen, this guy, John Coleman, has forgotten more about these secret societies, the Masons and the Skull and Bones and the Committee of 300. He forgot more than I'm ever going to know. But it's a little piece to the puzzle that I needed to know in order for me to understand world events in the light of Bible prophecy. And now that I've read his book and I see the names and I've got it on my shelf, I recommend it to all of my students. And I bring it to your attention today. And that's because Dr. Beath also brought it up in his series of lectures. So this is a theologian, or this is a biblical expositor. He may not be a theologian. He may be just a professor expounding on the scripture. This guy understands these secret societies. In fact, he's got one of his lectures on the New Age Agenda. The New Age Agenda. This DVD describes the ways in which various so-called Christian societies have manipulated the spiritual scene to prepare the way for the coming of a cosmic Christ who satisfies the needs of all religions. The Christian Science Movement, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and the New Age are all exposed. And we also take a look at the Maitreya, and this anti-biblical doctrine, as well as the manifestations of false Christs in our world today. Does the New Age just affect an esoteric fringe, or is it a living reality in the educational system of the world, reshaping and remodeling the mindset of those even of the traditional Christian faith? And the answer is yes to all of the above. And there's some information that you need to know in addition to Total Onslaught that will help you understand it. Now, my understanding and my view of Total Onslaught by Dr. Veith has helped because I already read the book on the Committee of 300. I was already tuned into that. Now, here's the second one I'm going to bring your attention to. It's called Fossilized Customs. It's written by a guy by the name of Lew White, L-E-W-W-H-I-T-E. And it's called The Pagan Sources of Popular Customs, you know, like Christmas, Easter, and New Year's. Where does that come from? And he wrote a book. Let's see if it's a paperback. It's 185 pages. I don't know what the price is. I don't even know where to get it. I imagine if you went to a Bible bookstore, you might be able to find it there. Now, this is one of the guys that believes in Yahweh. It's what we call the holy names people. You've heard of Yahweh and Yahshua and so on. Well, listen, Dr. Veith also knows about Yahweh and Yahshua and uses the terms. But he's also hot and heavy on Jesus Christ. Now, I've done some programs on this subject. I got through reading Lew White's book, and there's another one. It's a book called Too Long in the Sun. Too Long in the Sun. And I forgot that author's name. I don't have it right here in front of me on the counter. But if I can dig that out, I'll give it to you next time or the time after. Those two guys are holy name guys, and there's a third guy over here that wrote a book here called, see if I can remember the name of it here, The Final Reformation. He was a South African. Now, here's what I discovered from these three guys. I don't know what Jesus' name was, but I do know that his name wasn't Jesus. Now, in the scripture, there's a statement made that says, Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven whereby men may be saved. But you see, the word Jesus is a Greek word, and it means Zeus. Zeus is the Greek sun god. Oh, boys and girls, I don't believe that the Messiah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, was named Zeus. And the second name, Christ, comes from Christos. Christos is the Karma, or the Indian sun god. Hey, wait a minute. The creator of the universe is not named Zeus Christos. That isn't going to happen. It didn't happen. And those names have been grafted on. Remember, the Bible has been rewritten for our benefit to deceive us. It isn't that we can't get the original, that we can't ferret it out. It's that if you're following the lemmings, you're going into the ocean and drown. There's only a few people that recognize and understand this. Again, if you'll take a look at Matthew 13, the Messiah says plainly, I speak to these people in parables so they can't understand. Only those that are drawn from the breast and weaned from the milk can understand what's going on at this time. Everybody's going to have an opportunity, either in the millennial reign or in the 100-year period at salvation. Everybody, your great-grandmother and granddaddy and Joe Stalin and everybody. But at this moment in time, just leading up to the first coming, this is called the second coming, he came once, but the coming of Christ, the second coming. Now, that's an event that's not going to happen again. This is the first time this has happened, this great tribulation. Now, this Fossilized Customs here is a dynamite book to explain to you what these holy names are and what the deceptions are. And he covers a plethora of these deceptions, also covered by Dr. Veith. But again, this gives you a heads up. Now, Dr. Veith evidently does not know about Zeus and Christos. And I'm not going to write him a letter and explain it to him. I mean, you know, he's free, white, and 21. He ought to know this. He's smarter than I am. But I didn't know this either, and so I had to learn it from Lew White. Now, I'm just a little bit behind all of you holy name people out there. I'm not fully persuaded that Yahshua and Yahweh are the correct names. They may be, and I'm not arguing with you. I agree with you that Jesus isn't and Christ isn't. I can see that. But you know, everybody's at a different level of understanding. And my understanding isn't up to that level yet. See where I'm going with this? Just like John Coleman. Now, Coleman may not understand the Passover and the Sabbaths, but he sure understands he sure understands all of these secret societies out here. And this guy, Lew White, you know, he's no dummy. He's right on top of this also. He understands things like Brahma and Shiva and Krishna. And these pagan signs, you know, like the crescent moon, the upside-down cross, the Nazi swastika. Oh, hey, listen, I'm looking at page 95. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 2, 4, 6, 8. He's got 48 symbols on here, Phoenician, Egyptian, Nineveh, Celtic, Hindu, Greek. I mean, just goes on and on. Like the all-seeing eye. Take a look at CBS. And their logo is this all-seeing eye. That's the same all-seeing eye that you see on the back of the $1 bill. Okay, that's the all-seeing eye of Horus. Horus is Satan the devil. That is occult demon worship, Satan worship. Now, the Illuminists all know that, but the Goyim, that's people like you and me, we don't know, not supposed to know, and we're not being told. We go to church and we see that, or like that fish on the trunk of people's car. You know, you stop at a red light and the guy in front of you has got a fish on the back of his car. Well, that fish is Dagon, the fish god. So I just thought I'd point that out, you know, and I got that from this guy, Lou White. And so Lou White added to my fund of understanding. He added to my knowledge, my wisdom, and my understanding. I don't know how much Lou White knows. You know, I would say I probably wouldn't qualify to light his cigarettes or pour his coffee either. But I want to pass that on to you, because if you were to read that book along with the Committee of 300, you'd be smarter, wouldn't you? And then if you took a look at Total Onslaught along with Fossilized Customs and the Committee of 300, you'd be even smarter yet. Now, I read the Committee of 300. I couldn't find anything in there historically incorrect. There may be some mistakes in there, but if there is, it's beyond my ability to ferret them out. And same thing with Fossilized Customs. You know, this guy may have a couple of three unscriptural doctrines in here that I don't subscribe to. But I think he's pretty much on point. The same thing here with Dr. Weiss. I think he's pretty much on point, although there's a couple, three things that I did ferret out, and I said, hey, I don't want to be associated with that, and I've been bringing those to your attention. Let me give you another guy's name over here. This guy over here is Harry Rimmer, and he wrote a book here called The Harmony of Science and Scripture. Now, this is 1936, and he is a scientist. He's a theologian and a scientist. And then he wrote a book called The Harmony of Science and Scripture. There's no science in the Bible that disagrees with the science in the laboratory. Now, the Bible disagrees with the philosophies of our academic institutions, but not with the science out of the laboratories. And in fact, all of the science in the laboratories corroborates that of the Bible. Every time we discover something, you know, like the first and second laws of thermodynamics, we see that that's exactly the way the Bible is written. Did you know the Bible says that the world is round? Yep, it says the world's round. I know the Catholic Church said that it was flat. I know the Pope said it was flat. Did you know that the Catholic Church has been wrong more than once? Just in case you didn't know that. And then when it comes to science, I don't think the Catholic Church is a very good source, but the Bible is. In fact, there's a scientific test in Job chapter 38 with 40 questions. Take the test. Why don't you? Take the test and see if you can answer those 40 questions. Job couldn't. He couldn't answer any of them, and today modern science can answer 3 out of 40. 37 of them today, with all of our vaunted technology, still don't know the answers to. Just thought I'd throw that one out there for your consideration. Now we're at the halfway point, and I've got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log, schedule, and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. And then if you'll click onto the archives page, you can download that free general law CD package right there. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's George Gordon. amazingdiscoveries.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing some DVDs here this week called Total Onslaught, and they're put out by amazingdiscoveries.org. That's where I'd go online. Their telephone number is 1-866-572-9457. Again, that's 1-866-572-9457. The price of the set, $300, $15 each. If you buy the whole set, they only cost $8.33 each. It's dirt cheap. Hey, let me show you a second one. Number 224B, Total Onslaught, That All May Be One. There's a movement afoot which is designed to bring all the religions of the world into one camp. One camp. So we're going to join the Muslims, Jews, Christians, the Japanese Shintoists, and the Chinese ancestor worshippers. All are going to come together. See, already all of them practice Sunday. They have a lot in common. They all practice occult religion and philosophy. And we're creating synthesis and anti-synthesis. You get the Jews and the Muslims to fighting each other. And so what we're looking for is to get them to fighting so that we can bring synthesis out of the two. It's called Hegelian dialectics. And it's genius at work. It works like a shot. And it's been working for at least the last 4,000 years since the Tower of Babel. And now we're about ready to go into this new world order, the one world government. Now, in an age of religious tolerance and ecumenism, old hatchers are being buried. Churches are reuniting that have been separated on questions of doctrine. Now, are these developments based on scriptures and scriptural conformity, or on humanitarian principles? Is truth sacrificed for the sake of unity? And are we moving to an era of peace the Bible warns against? Well, this video also looks at the philosophies of some prominent preachers, such as Robert Schuller and others. So what are these people teaching? I read a story here not too long ago about a Catholic priest. He might have been a Jesuit priest, and he said there's only one Protestant denomination that's Protestant. All the rest of them are Catholic. Now listen up now. Let me repeat that to you. That's a shocker, I know. He said there's only one Protestant denomination that is actually Protestant, protesting. All of the rest of them, all of the Baptists and Lutherans and all the rest of you Protestants out there are Catholics who are in rebellion against the church. There's one Protestant, all the rest are rebels. And they decided this at the Council of Trent, three trials in the 1500s. He said, here's what it is. It's the Seventh-day Adventists. They're the only ones who are the true Protestants because they keep the Sabbath on Saturday. All the rest of the Protestants keep the Sabbath on Sunday. And it was the Catholic Church that changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And it's by their authority alone, and there is no biblical authority for making that change. That's what the Catholics say. And this is why Vyth is so good. And he says very plainly, he says, hey, listen, I didn't say that. That's the Catholic Church. That's Pope so-and-so. That's Loyola that said that. That's the head of the Jesuits. That's the head of the Knights of Columbus. He cites them. Here's the authority. Here's the date, time, and place. Here's where that quotation comes from. Well, he's exactly right. He's exactly right. I know it's a bitter pill to swallow. When we get to Revelation 17, the great whore, the Catholic Church, is ruling over her Protestant daughters. All of these daughters come out of Catholicism. Strange Fire. Here's another story. Strange Fire deals with the miraculous manifestations found in modern Christian worship. The origin and methods of megachurches and their needs related to religion are discussed and exposed for what they are. So what's the source of their inspiration? And from which cistern are they drawing their water? And where are the mega preachers such as Schuller, Hybels, Warren, Copeland, Hinn? Where are they going with their philosophies? Well, in this video, we learned that in modern theology, there has been a shift from God-centered religion to man-centered religion, from salvation by faith and trust in the atonement to a social gospel. Social. Socialist. Communist. Social gospel. Now here's the UN and the occult agenda. The United Nations is a church. Yeah, it's a religious organization. It's identified as a religious organization in the book of Revelation. It's also revealed to be a religious organization by their own documents and by their own symbols. Those are occult symbols. Those are religious symbols of Mithra and Horus, Isis. Yep, Yep, the United Nations is a religious organization. And you know how they talk about separation of church and state? Oh, no, no, no. There's no separation of church and state. We have an amalgamation of church and state. What we have is a separation from the state, from the Christian church. But the state and all of its pagan churches, there is total unification. Now, I mentioned this the other day. I'm going to mention it again. In the House of Representatives here in the United States, in our House of Representatives, on each side of the speaker's platform is a fasciae. That's a bundle of reeds with a spear or an axe coming out of the top of it. If you want to look, you take a look at one of the old Mercury dimes, minted between 1916 and 1945 here in the United States. It's a silver dime. It's called a Mercury dime. All right. Look on the back of it, and there's the fasciae. That's a pagan occult symbol of, I forgot which god it is now, but that's the symbol of a god. That's the symbol of fascism. Fascism. There's no separation of church and state here, boys and girls. The House of Representatives in our Congress is a religious institution, and they practice occult religion. How do you like that? And the members of both bodies are primarily, not totally, but primarily, Freemasons. Our president's a Freemason. Yeah, yeah. And I read to you the list of the Freemasons, the politicians in this country, guys like George Washington, Andrew Jackson, Franklin D. Roosevelt, James Monroe, William Howard Taft. And then here's some that wanted to be president: Bob Dole, Al Gore, Barry Goldwater, Jack Kemp, Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton is a 33-degree Mason, Billy Graham. Hey, wake up here, smell coffee here, kids. There's no separation of church and state. Now, I'll tell you one more little piece of the puzzle over here as it related to two pieces of knowledge. Modern Science in an Ancient Book, written by Harry Rimmer. This is The Harmony of Science and Scripture, published by Erdmann's Publishers back in 1936. He has a section in here on Joshua's Long Day. It's called Modern Science and the Long Day of Joshua. Now, this is made fun of. This is a scriptural story in the book of Joshua made fun of, you know, by evolutionists and all these scientists out here. Well, could we prove astronomically that Joshua's Long Day is true, accurate, and correct? Yeah, yeah, we can. And in his book, he mentions a book here called Joshua's Long Day, written by C.A.L. Totten, M.A., who was a professor up in, I think it was Harvard. Well, back in 1892, let's see when this is copyrighted. Now, Destiny Publishers was the outfit that Howard Rand owned, and that's who I called, and it's called Joshua's Long Day and the Dial of Ahaz, A Scientific Vindication by Charles A.L. Totten. He was the first lieutenant, 4th Artillery, USA, professor of military science and tactics, SSS of Yale University. Oh, he was a Yale professor. And also When the Earth Turned Over by Howard B. Rand. Now, this guy Howard Rand is dead, but now I'm sure. 20 years ago, he was 92. He'd have to be 122 today. 9212 today. But anyway, I sent for this book, and it is astronomical, follows the scripture, and shows you how the Joshua's Long Day occurred and how it was recorded by the Egyptians, Greeks, and the Assyrians and Babylonians. And it's also, the Chinese are in there too. They all recorded Joshua's Long Day. Now, let's see if you could get a copy of this book from Merrimack Publishers. See if I can give it to you here. The address was up in Merrimack, Massachusetts. See, I don't know if they're still in operation or not. I've had this book for quite a long time. You might find it in a Bible bookstore. Give it a shot and see. Well, I can't seem to find that Merrimack address. Let me see if it's there in the back. Merrimack Publishers. And Destiny Publishers, Merrimack, Massachusetts, 01860. It was authored by Howard Rand. Well, he's the guy that published it, Destiny Publishers. Try that and see what you come up with. There's the proof of it. Now, remember I told you, I said, now listen, everybody is at a different level of understanding. This guy Howard Rand was no slacker. He's no dummy. I would not have been able to prove Joshua's Long Day. I would have had doubts about Joshua's Long Day unless I saw the science behind it. The scriptural account's kind of factual and straightforward. If you were an Orthodox Christian, you'd say, well, God said it and I believe it. But the scripture says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. We ought to be able to prove the creation occurred in 24-hour increments rather than 1,000-year periods. We should be able to prove Joshua's Long Day and that the flood was worldwide, not local. And you should be able to do that with contemporary science. And as a matter of fact, we can. But nobody tells us about Howard Rand, Harry Rimmer, Lou White, John Coleman. We don't tell you where you can get this information. You're not going to find your preacher telling you anything about C.A.L. Totten and Joshua's long day. That'll be a cold day in hell. And that's because your preacher is probably a Freemason, probably in on the Illuminati plan, and he's working with the occult. He's an occultist who pretends to be a Christian. You know, he's out there telling you what a good guy he is and how he believes in Jesus. The exact opposite's really what he believes and really what he practices. That's where reality's located. All right, let me give you a couple more here. The UN and the occult agenda. Does the United Nations have only a political agenda, or is there a spiritual dimension to its activities? In this video, it's clearly exposed what the hidden agenda behind the scenes is all about. From its inception to its ultimate goal, the creation of a unitary political religious system is discussed, which will have far-reaching consequences for every individual on planet Earth, and possible catastrophic consequences for those who trust in salvation in Christ alone. They're going to kill every Christian on this planet. So if you're running around telling people you're a Christian, you're probably going to come up in the resurrection, you know, from your grave. Next item over here, Battle of the Giants. The great controversy between Christ and Satan throughout all the ages is described in the book of Revelation, particularly in Revelation 12, is presented here. The hatred of Lucifer for God's Son and for all who should follow his leadership has led to more bloodshed, more pain, more suffering on this planet than many realize. The persecution of all who believe the Bible in the Middle Ages, as well as the great final conflict that will come upon the earth, are revealed in this video. So this great tribulation is the last battle. This is the last conflict. Well, I say the last one. Revelation 21 comes up with another one. At the end of the millennium, Satan is released from the bottomless pit and goes out to deceive the nations, and there's one more great rebellion. You'd think we'd learn our lesson, but no. Oh, one more great one after this. And that's another part of the story here. Now there's number 228b, a stone to rest your head. This is an expose of Revelation chapter 10, which reveals the counterpart to the beast, which is to arise out of the bottomless pit, the kingdom of evil. It exposes the organization which God raises up to counter the myriad of errors which Satan places in the world to rob man of his salvation. It is this organization which is to be empowered with a special message of warning, and it arises at the right time in Bible prophecy to herald an everlasting gospel of salvation in Christ and the faithfulness to his word. A stone to rest your head. Quite a little story. And then the last one for this session I want to tell you about is God's guiding gift. One of the distinguishing features of the organization that counters Satan's kingdom is brought forth in Revelation 12 and 14, and that is that they have the testimony of Jesus, which is explained to be the spirit of prophecy. Does God still speak in modern man? Amongst the array of prophets claiming to have messages from God, is there a voice that comes from the throne of grace? And how do you identify a true prophet anyway? And what does the Bible reveal about this issue? Hey, this guy is right on point here with Bible prophecy. So, I learned a bunch, and I hope to learn a lot more. He's got two more series out there. I'm going to get them. I'll read them. I'll listen to them. I'll watch them. I'll see. I'll give a report on them as we progress along. But this one is the one that I'm reporting on this week. It's called Total Onslaught. Telephone number is 1-866-572-9457. Some of these are pronounced religious-oriented. So I don't want you to get mad at me now. And you say, hey, you're out here promoting this Advent religion. We're not doing that. No, not doing it. But I can't control what this guy has to say and what he has to say. You can accept it or reject it. But if you'll take the time to look at it, I guarantee you, you're gonna be smarter when you get done, when you finish with this guy. Now, let me tell you one more little story. There's a guy that wrote 5 books. His name is Stephen M. Collins. And I take a lot of heat from time to time because I'm one of those British Israel believers. I believe that the United States of America is Manasseh, Great Britain is Ephraim, and that Zebulun is located in Holland, and France is Reuben, and Ireland is Dan, and Denmark is Dan, and so on. I can identify all of the lost tribes of Israel, and so can you. So can you. And it's located in the Scripture. And the first guy that did this wrote a book called Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright. That's the first guy. The second guy that picked up on this was a guy named Herbert W. Armstrong from the Worldwide Church in Pasadena, California. He wrote a book called The United States and British Commonwealth in Prophecy, and he was right on point. Both of them were. Armstrong sold what J.H. Allen had discovered. And Armstrong wrote a good book, and he wrote a good story. But this guy, Stephen Collins, came along and wrote five books. Five. And the first one is called The Lost Ten Tribes of Israel Found. And then Israel's Lost Empires. Parthia, the forgotten ancient superpower and its role in biblical history. Israel's Tribes Today. And The Origins of Empire of Ancient Israel. Five books. Last time I talked to him, he was going to write another one on Noah's Flood. I haven't talked to him for a while, but I wanted to bring these five books to your attention. Now, you can get these five from, write this down, Stephen Collins, S-T-E-V-E-N, Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S. And he autographed mine. May be worth a lot of money someday. Here it is. A CPA book publisher, P.O. Box 596, Boring, Oregon, 97009. And write that down. Boring, Oregon, 97009. Phone number up there is 503-668-4977. It's called the CPA Book Publisher, Post Office Box 596, Boring, Oregon. Five books by Stephen Collins. Telling you what all five books are about, $20 a piece, round numbers. Five of them, $100 bill. And that's what I sent to Stephen Collins for his five books. That'll identify the 10 tribes of Israel that are lost, the two tribes of Israel that weren't lost, and it'll tell you a vital part of that biblical story that's unfolding right now in front of our eyeballs. And the second one over here, remember, is amazingdiscoveries.org, amazingdiscoveries.org, 1-866-572-9457. Boys and girls, I'm out of time again. Hard to get started, and I'm out of time. So I'm going to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-sectarian, non-commercial private law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archive. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. That's it. Time's up. The signal's on. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.